Well, amen. Thank you so much for being here tonight and waiting patiently. I do apologize, but I learned a long time ago when traffic's backed up, there ain't a thing you can do. You just got to grin and bear it. And I don't like that bearing part too much. I'm not very good at that. And as soon as I see taillights coming on and brake lights, first thing I want to do is, I wonder what way I could go get out of here. I'm not one of those people that likes to sit still. So if I can get moving, I'm going to. And so I thought, well, I'll just get off and I'll at Perryville, because it started before we even got anywhere on 95. And I said, I'll get off at Perryville. Well, there was a whole bunch of other people thought they would do that. And I thought, well, I'll get back on at 155. There was a whole bunch of other people who thought they were going to do that. So I came on down 40 and got on 22. And I thought, I'll get on 95 at 22. And they were barely creeping coming down through there. And so Brother Bob Stoots, you know, he's given me the call and all these directions through these back roads over here. But, of course, I got one of them smart feller phones. And I can about go anywhere I want to now, you know, because I just say, okay, Google, which way am I going? And it works, but I'm here, and you all have waited, and I don't know how long your Sunday night service is, and you're probably, some of you are saying, yeah, it's just about time to go home. So it's been on my heart for some time, several weeks ago, matter of fact. I was reading through the book of Jeremiah. And as I was reading through the book of Jeremiah, the similarities of what is going on in our nation and Jeremiah, the great weeping prophet, just kept, pounding me in the head time and time again that, man, look at the similarities of what is taking place in our nation. I dare say that a Sunday night crowd that I wouldn't even have to make mention of the idiocy that's taking place from the White House today. The king's decree that we are supposed to let men that think they're women use the women's bathroom. And I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking of how that the men of God have stood down through the years. They have preached the truth of the gospel. And look where we are in the United States of America. We are rejecting the truth of God's word. Our leaders are scorning. There's one running for president today that says that religion needs to rethink its stand on so many different things. And she, I'm not going to mention whose name it is, thinks that we need to get out of our old fuddy-duddy ways of sticking by the Bible. And folks, let me tell you, we are just in a mess in this country. That's just all there is to it. And if we do not turn back to the teaching of the Word of God, Amen. You know, I've never read in prophecy, and I'm not a great prophecy scholar, but I've never read in prophecy anything about the United States in the end time. I've never read anything, but you know, you remember when the USSR, the United Soviet States, broke up, and everybody was beginning to worry about the fact, well, the Bible talks about the great bear from the north and everything like that. You know, Russia never went anywhere. Amen. Russia stayed exactly where they were, and they're getting stronger every day. God's word will be fulfilled, folks, but I've still read the back of the book. Amen? Amen. We still win, amen. But I want us to look in Jeremiah for just a little bit tonight. And if you'll turn in Jeremiah chapter 36, it's a passage of scripture that I don't know that I have preached from this in quite some time. But it's a passage of scripture that has spoken to my heart time and time again. And in Jeremiah chapter 36, if you'd stand, please, in honor of the Word of God. It's not very often I come in church and jump right up and start preaching. So I got to get my mind acclimated a little bit. And get situated here. So you bear with me. And in Jeremiah chapter 36 and verse 1, "And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words, write therein all of the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations, from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin." "Then Jeremiah called Baruch, and the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up. I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. It may be they will present their supplication before the Lord and will return every one from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against this people. And Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. And it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem and to all the people that came from the cities of Judah unto the house. Then Baruch read in the book the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, in the higher court, at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the ears of all the people. When Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, had heard out of the book all the words of the Lord, then he went down into the king's house, into the scribe's chamber, and lo, all the princes sat there, even Elishama the scribe, and Deliah the son of Shemaiah, and Elnathan the son of Achbor, and Gemariah the son of Shaphan, and Zedekiah the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. Then Micaiah declared unto them all the words that he had heard when Baruch read the book in the ears of the people. Therefore all the princes sent Jehudi, the son of Nethaniah. Where did all these names come from? Good Lord of mercy. The son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushi, unto Baruch, saying, Take in thine hand the roll which thou hast read in the ears of the people, and come. So Baruch, the son of Neriah, took the roll in his hand and came unto them. And they said unto him, Sit down now and read it in our ears. So Baruch read it in their ears. Now it came to pass, when they had heard all of the words, they were afraid both one and another, and said unto Baruch, We will surely tell the king of all these words. And they asked Baruch, saying, Tell us now, how didst thou write all these words at his mouth? Then Baruch answered them, He pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Verse 19, Then said the princes unto Baruch, Go hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, and let no man know where ye be. Let's bow our heads and our hearts, please, in prayer, and we will continue with more of this chapter. So don't close your Bibles today or this evening. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the privilege to be in your house tonight. Thank you, Lord, for these folks that have waited here so patiently. And Lord, I thank you for safety over the highway. And Lord, I thank you that we can be in your house again tonight. Lord, what a blessing it was to be here this morning in the presence of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, just as I walked in, the testimony of the ladies here at this church, what a blessing it is to have godly ladies that will serve you, that will be faithful to live for you. And I pray that you would continue to bless the many aspects of ministry here in this church. And Lord, that you will use this church in a mighty way in this community. Lord, we need you to speak to our hearts, to bless us and to strengthen us, Lord, in the Word of God tonight. So I pray, Father, that you'll help me to be able to preach the Word of God. Touch my voice, give me strength, and Lord, give me wisdom in the Word of God tonight that we might be a blessing and be an encouragement to these folks here tonight. In your name we do pray. Amen. Now you may be seated. This passage of Scripture, I think about how that the title comes to be, that God's Word will stand. But I had preached this message one other time, and a lady came to me, and she had written a poem entitled, "It May Be." She wrote the poem while I was preaching the message, and I got thinking about that. I didn't know whether I exactly liked that or not, but I know how bad preachers are. When a preacher will get on a good point in a message, all of a sudden you'll see preachers that are sitting in the audience, they'll start flipping through their Bible and they'll get out a pen and they'll get a notepad and they'll start writing down notes. And I'm thinking, yeah, they're not paying a bit of attention to what I'm saying. And they're getting a new message that the Lord's laid on their heart. This lady wrote this poem. It said, "It may be." And I know I have the poem somewhere. She mailed it to me. But when I read these phrases in verse 3 and in verse 7, it's encouraging to know that our words are not in vain, that our lives are not in vain in serving the Lord. First of all, this is great to me in this passage, that the inspired Word of God is very real. When you look at this and Baruch is writing it down, and what a picture we have of the men of God down through the ages of time, that God has inspired them by the leadership of the Holy Spirit to pin down the blessed Word of God that we have today. And I believe that this old King James Bible is the inspired Word of God. Now, I do a little bit of grass mowing, and a fellow that I mow for, he attends a big church in our area, and they built a new building, and there was a group of people that wanted to buy their old building. And this man was talking to me. He says, "Do you know so-and-so?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, I do." And he says, "I was reading their church covenant and reading their doctrinal standards." And he says to me, he believes that the King James is the only inspired Bible. I looked at him, I said, "I do too." And I know it took him a little bit by surprise, but folks, let me tell you, when all of these different so-called declarations of the Word of God, and they think that they come up with a better translation, a better rendition of the manuscript. Let me tell you, words change their meaning in languages over a period of time. For example, the word gay 10 years ago, 15 years ago, certainly did not mean what it means today. Amen? And so we get differences. Words change meanings. To me, now I'm not a scholar or anything like that, but to me, the further you get away from the original rendition of the manuscripts, the more chance you've got of messing it up, amen? So I'm just going to stick with the book that's been tested, tried, and true, and I don't have to hear all of their ideas and all of their, well, you need to get out of the old Stone Age and move on up. I'll just stick right there, amen? I'll still just hit some stones together and get some fire going. I'll be all right. Don't worry about me. I've been all right all these years. And I'll still be all right when they're switching to another version, amen? But the inspired Word of God. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21, it talks about how that the holy men of God were inspired to write the Word of God. It was placed upon the hearts of men, and God breathed it to them to be written so it could be preserved for us. It was inscribed on Jeremiah's heart. And even at the end of this chapter, you'll find what takes place, that they destroyed the roll that he had written. If you read through this entire chapter tonight, you'll find that they destroyed destroyed the roll. And after that, Jeremiah says to Baruch, get your pen. And he writes it even in more detail of what God has given him. The word of God will never pass away. And the word of God says that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. So the word of God is the inspired word of God. It will last throughout time and eternity. It did the job for our ancestors, and it will do the job for you and I today. I don't need a newfangled book. I've got the blessed, inspired word of God. But I just thought it was very, very curious to me that they're sitting there, these religious leaders, and Baruch has read this scroll to them, and he has told them that Jeremiah has been inspired by Almighty God. And so after he reads it, they're sort of blown away by the writing of Jeremiah, and they don't know hardly what to say. And they look at him, they say in verse 17, now tell us again how this happened. Well, it wasn't very difficult for Baruch to tell them. Jeremiah spoke it, and I wrote it with ink on the roll. That's pretty simple, folks. And when God spoke it and breathed it to the men of God, it does not take a scholar, it does not take a rocket scientist to be able to figure it out, that God has preserved his word. When you take all of the different writers down through the ages of time, and it has been put together in one book with no contradictions, and with prophecy being fulfilled, it is the inspired word of God. We don't have to go looking for anything else. But then secondly, the word of God is inciting. It is something that inspires. It stirs us into action. You know, when I read the word of God and I get studying the word of God, and maybe I've got a question about something, and I start studying in the Word of God, and I need a decision, I need an answer in my life. And I start studying in the Word of God, and all of a sudden, that particular verse that I may be reading that day, I've read it time and time again down through the years, but all of a sudden, that verse takes on a new direction to me, and it inspires my heart, gives me the answer that I have been praying for, that I have been searching for. The Word of God is ever living. It is ever alive forevermore. And so it says here in verse 3 and in verse 7, I believe it is, it says, it may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. So many people have a picture of God in heaven as this old, white, long-haired individual with a big cane or a big stick, just ready to lower the boom on whoever doesn't do right. But right there in that verse, we have a picture of a loving God. It says, it may be that they will hear the word of God. It may be that they will repent. It may be that they will return. And the Lord was giving them that one last opportunity, that one last chance to repent. In verse 7, it says, it may be that they will present their supplication before the Lord and will return everyone from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against this people. And so we see the word of God is inciting. It will encourage us. It will strengthen us. It will incite the child of God if they will just read the word of God and believe the word of God. It will incite us for our lives to be different. It will encourage us to walk a separate walk. It will encourage us to talk a different talk. It will encourage us to live godly before a lost and dying world. And so we see here, the word of God is inciting. Repentance and supplication comes from the word of God. You know, if you stop and think about it for just a moment, If there was no Word of God, okay, I know it's hard for us sitting here tonight to just erase that out of our mind, but stop for just a moment. If there was no Word of God, what would be the standard of right and wrong? What would be the standard of morality? Because without the Word of God, what basis do you have? Brother George Jones, I can't get over that name. But anyway, Brother George and I are both preachers. As far as I know, Brother George is a great man. But yet, if Brother George and I sat down and said, all right, there's no Bible here, we're going to sit down and we're going to write out something for a standard of morality, sooner or later, there would be a difference in what we thought. Even though we're both preachers. If we didn't have a Bible, we wouldn't be preachers. We'd be false prophets, he says. All right. Yeah, I think we got a bunch of them today anyway. But it's just, we can't comprehend it, can we? Because where would we be without the Bible? But yet, that's the standard that our nation is seeking after. That is the direction that we're headed. And the Israelites, they heard Jeremiah preach to them. If you read through Jeremiah, my goodness, time and time and time and time and time again, he's preaching to them about their sin. He's weeping over their sin. Jeremiah was put in prison. He was dropped down in a dungeon where there was nothing but muck and mire and who knows what else was down there. And when they dropped him down into it, he just kept sinking down into it. And had there not been folks that were interested in preserving the life of Jeremiah, he would have died in those dungeons. But yet Jeremiah did not back down. He preached the Word of God. He preached the prophecy of what was going to happen to Israel if they did not repent. He didn't back down one little bit. And so we see here that the Word of God will incite us to live for Him. But yet, God wants to forgive our sins. In Psalms 103, verses 10 through 14, He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we're but dust, that we are dust. And if we would just realize that the Word of God will incite us to confess our sin, to repent. If you look there in verses 10 through 19, fear what the Word of God says. We need the Word of God to make us fearful for the judgment that will come. I don't live in fear of God in heaven with that big stick ready to just to beat me up. But I live in the reverence of who God is. I live in the reverence of what the Word of God says. And while I am not fearful that I'm going to die and go to hell because I've been saved by the grace of God, I don't want to live in the sense that, well, I'm saved and I can live any way that I want to, think anything that I want to think, do anything I want to do. That's not what God wants us to. He wants us to fear Him in the sense that He is Almighty God, that we should reverence Him and that we should honor Him, that we should strive to live different. God's Word brings repentance, or it brings reprehension in our life. Amen? And so I see here the indelible Word of God. The Word of God, it cannot be eliminated. It cannot be forgotten. It cannot be changed. The indelible Word of God. Because right here in this passage, Jeremiah has prophesied to them, told them what God is going to do. The religious leaders of that day, they said, hey, Barak, you better come and read that to us personally. So he does, and they said, tell us one more time how you got this. And Barak says, Jeremiah spoke it. I wrote it with ink, put it on the roll. It's not a hard thing to comprehend, in other words. You've just got to do what God says to do. And so we see here in this passage of Scripture that they said, we're going to tell the king, but you and Jeremiah, you go hide yourselves. Why do you think they said that? Because they knew the king pretty well, didn't they? They knew that the king wasn't going to hear what Jeremiah had to say. They knew that the king was going to be mad, that he was going to be, there was going to be wrath because of what was written in this roll. And so we see here that as they take it in verse 21, or in verse 20, I'm sorry, and they went into the king and to the court, but they laid up the roll in the laid up the roll in the chamber of Elisham the scribe and told all the words in the ears of the king. So in other words, they did not even take the roll into the king. They left the roll out there with Elisham, and they just went in to tell the king, "King, this is what Jeremiah wrote, said, Baruch wrote it down, and this is what he said." And so we find that the roll is not even anywhere near the king. Verse 21, so the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elisham the scribe's chamber. And Jehudi read it in the ears of the king and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed and the fire that was in the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all of these words. You know, time and time again, I've experienced people in my life. They've been raised in the house of God. They've been taught the word of God. They know the difference between right and wrong. They know that when the preacher's preaching the word of God, that he's saying what he ought to be saying. They know that the Spirit of God has led him to preach the word of God. But yet they're just like this king. They don't want to hear what God is saying. You know what they do? They take out their penknife and they do this. They take out their penknife, and I got an old timer because that's what I am. But they take out their penknife and they go into their Bible and they do like this. And they cut and they do this and they throw out that piece of their Bible. They say, "I don't like that anymore. I don't like that verse out of the Bible." And then they take and they cut this piece out. And then they say, "Well, yeah, that I don't need this piece right here either, so I'm going to get rid of that." So they cut the verses out of their Bible that they don't want. And they just slice it out as if it means nothing at all to them. And they just cut their Bible apart. You say, "Oh, I've never seen anybody do it." They took out that penknife right here. Amen. They heard what the preacher preached. Said, "I don't like that preacher. I'm cutting that part out. I'm throwing it away." And they've just sliced it up. And they don't need the word of God anymore. If the word of God is not supreme in our lives, and we are not going to allow it to be the indelible word of God that does not change, that cannot be altered, and that it will last and stand forever in our hearts, friend, there is something supremely wrong in your life. There is something that God is not pleased with, and there's something that tonight you need to repent of it. And you need to get back to the point where God is God, that he is supreme, that his word is the final authority. When I said this morning that I believe that this blessed book right here is going to be one of the books that are there when we stand and when the unsaved stand in judgment, I believe that with all my heart. But I believe this book will be open when we that are saved by the grace of God and are judged at the Bema seat, we will stand in judgment because of the word of God. Folks, let me tell you, we need to realize that there's a day coming. Now, in case you're wondering, I did not cut my Bible. All right. I just want you to know I reverence my Bible more than that. Matter of fact, years ago, I was preaching a revival down in Essex, Maryland, and the kids were little, and we had a two-door car, a Cutlass Supreme, you know, and it was on a four-lane traffic street down there, and I was parked on the side, and cars were coming, and so I hurried and got Jason in the back seat. And in the meantime, I laid my Bible up on the roof of the car, and I went down, did a U-turn, and started back up the road the other direction. And as I got into it, which I like to do with that car, but anyway, as I got into it, I saw my Bible go off of the roof of the car. It was not in a Bible cover, and I see the pages flying open. And all of a sudden, I see the cars coming up through there. It's not in the wheel lane of the traffic. But the guy had to swerve over just so he ran over my Bible. And oh, my heart was broken. My heart was ripped out. And it was a Bible that Patty and the kids had given me on Father's Day. It was the Bible that I argued with the Lord over, that I couldn't preach, that I had never been to Bible college, and that I didn't even have a good study Bible. And Pat didn't know the Lord was dealing with me about preaching. I wouldn't tell her that. And I said, Lord, I can't preach. I don't even have a good study Bible. I can't do it. Well, Father's Day that year, her and the kids gave me a Scofield Reference study Bible. And I was so thankful for the Bible, never said a word to her. And in my quiet time, I said, Lord, you don't play fair. And that Bible meant so much to me. And I went back, and when the traffic got on by, and I went back, and pages were torn, the binding was torn, and Patty said, don't you worry about it. She said, I'll take care of it. She took that Bible home. She ironed pages. She hot glued the binding back together, and I still have that Bible that I use occasionally. The cover's all but gone totally now, but that Bible means so much to me, because inscribed is in the front of it is where she wrote to you, to me, on Father's Day. Because the Word of God means so much to me. I've watched these so-called false prophets, or not so-called false prophets, they were, but so-called preachers of a cult. I watched and witnessed years ago him taking a Bible and throwing it down on the ground and then jumping up and down on it. And he said, see, it doesn't hurt me a bit. Let me tell you, the Word of God is what changed my life. When the old-time man of God was preaching the Word of God, when old Buford Hash from down in Chilhowie, Virginia, was preaching the Word of God, it dealt with my heart. And God the Holy Spirit used the Word of God to convict this little old farm boy that he needed to be saved, that he needed to be forgiven, that he needed to confess his sin. Thank God for this blessed old book that we have today. Oh, I tell you, it is the indelible Word of God. But you know what a contrast in the years. Because you remember who his dad was? Josiah. When he was 8 years old, he began to reign. And I believe he was around 18 years old, if I'm not mistaken, when they started cleaning up the temple, and he gave the order. He said, we need to get the house of God in order. And they brought the book of the law to him, and the statement that they made says, we have found the book of the law. How sad that the Word of God had been left aside. It was covered in dirt and junk, and everything else took precedence over the Word of God. Boy, what a picture of today. Amen. Families no longer read the Word of God. Individuals no longer read the Word of God. So many churches, you could stand outside, people attending on a Sunday morning, and see very few people carry any kind of version into the house of God. This book, don't ever take it for granted. this book, cherish it, love this book, read this book, study this book, apply it to your heart and to your lives, because it is the sustenance of life. It is the living word of God. But we see that when Josiah heard the word of the Lord, he didn't get out his penknife, but he repented in sackcloth and ashes, and he sent the prophet. He said, go pray, see if the Lord will hear our prayers. And these years later, here is his son. He takes out his knife, says, we don't need that. Man, the word of God has to mean everything to us. I'm thankful for the word of God being given to us in the English language. I'm thankful that we can read and study the word of God, but man, there were those who paid the price for you and I to have this blessed book. John Fox wrote, an educated clergyman said to Tyndale, he said, we had better be without God's law than the Pope's law. In other words, we don't need the word, we need to hear what the Pope has to say. But Tyndale's response was, I defy the Pope and all his laws. And if God spares my life ere many years, I will cause the boy that driveth the plow to know more of the scriptures than thou dost. Aren't you glad that Tyndale kept on striving that the word of God, that a little old farm boy like me, that I could know the word of God, that God could call me to preach the word of God, worthy or not, that I could stand and preach the word of God, because there were men that were willing to forsake their lives for the cause of the gospel and the word of God. For those who were willing to die, that the gospel might be shared through the word of God. Can we do any less? Can we not love the word of God? Can we not cherish the word of God? Can we not read and study the word of God? Can we not tell others about the word of God? I'm going to share one story with you, and I'm going to let you go tonight. For years, Patty and I were the youth directors at our church for 17 years. And after we were no longer the youth leaders, I got demoted to washing dishes and working in the kitchen. And I'm not much at washing dishes, I can tell you that. But Michael and Andrea started working with the youth, and we were still going to this camp. Every fall, man, we loved that camp, and what a great time we had. But Miss Patty and Miss Ruth Rowland, they would absolutely spoil those kids rotten. On Saturday morning, there would be biscuits and gravy and egg sausage casserole. And if you didn't have supper tonight, you're getting hungry just like I am. And I mean, they had all, I mean, it was, the kids came to camp for nothing else because they knew that they were going to eat good. And man, they made sure that these kids were loving their meals, and the counselors, they were always hogging in there and saying, all right, are the kids all gone? Is there more of that egg sausage casserole? They're not out there anymore. Can we have some more, you know? And they were always doing that kind of stuff. And we were there, and I was just there in the observing role. And on Saturday night, we had a tremendous service. Man, God just moved in a tremendous way. And the service lasted about 3 hours. Young people were saved. And there was a young lady that grew up in the youth group in our era. And she brought this young man in on that Saturday night. His name was Alan. Alan was a big guy. He's about 3 or 4 inches taller than me and just a big fella. And I don't look up to a whole lot of people, but I looked up to Alan. And Alan had never been in church. He grew up with what little, like a Ukrainian Roman Catholic or something like that. That was his own. And he said to me, he said, I don't know anything about the Bible. He said, I think Jesus' mother's name was Mary. And that's what he said. He said, I think her name was Mary. He said, but I really don't know anything about the Bible. And he said, I don't understand. I mean, young people were shouting and praising the Lord. And he said, I don't understand what's going on here tonight. And we sat down. The service was over like 10:30 at night. And we sat down for an hour and a half. And I started sharing the gospel. And with someone like that, you just basically got to start at the beginning. That's all you can do. And I said to him, I said, Alan, I said, I'm not going to try to make you have an opinion here tonight. I said, because I can see that you're trying to weigh it all out. And I said, I know Laura has given you a Bible. I said, go home and read the book of John. He says, well, she didn't give me John. She gave me the Bible. And I said, okay, Alan, I'm sorry. I said, John is a separate book within the Bible. That's how very little that he knew of the Word of God. And I gave him my phone number. In the matter of, I think it was 2 or 3 days, if I remember correctly, he called me and he says, well, I'm finished reading John. He says, where do I go now? And so I sent him to Matthew. And through the Gospels. And he just had this desire and this just, the Word of God was just drawing him in. And for someone who did not even know the Lord, the Word of God was so important to him that he had to absorb it, had to read it. What in the world has happened to us as Christians? That we no longer have that love for the Word of God, that we no longer have that burning desire. Let me tell you, I'm just like you all. I work a job, and there's times that I'm out of the house before 6 o'clock in the morning, and you know, I'm up at 5 o'clock or 4:45, 4:30 in the morning. It just depends, and things can just be absolutely crazy, and I don't get that early reading time that I thought I was going to get. And I've got the Bible on my phone, and when I'll get a minute, I'll try to read another chapter. But you know, there's just something about having that time when you could just sit down and you know you're not going to be disturbed and you can focus on the Word of God. When I don't get that, there's something inside of me that's longing and desiring to be able to have that alone time with the Word of God and for the Word of God to speak to my heart. I cannot do without the Word of God. And folks, if you can go without the Word of God day after day after day, week after week after week, and the only time that you get the Word of God is when you come in to the house of God, there's something that needs to be straightened out tonight. Amen. Do you love the Word? Amen. Is it life everlasting to you to be able to have the Word of God? Does it just bless your heart to be able to hold this book? Now, I told you I've got the Bible on my phone. It's just not the same as holding this book right here. It's just not the same as being able to open it up. And yeah, there's some commentary there. There's notes that I've made down through the years. And it's highlighted where favorite verses or verses that have spoken to me. And I'll go back and read a verse that's highlighted, and then I'll have to take a different highlighter and highlight another word in there because that word speaks to me that time I'm reading it. Because the Word of God is alive. Amen. It's what we need to be able to live daily. Don't cut it out with your penknife and say, preacher, I don't want that part. Don't need that part. Don't do that. Take the Word of God. When the man of God, when Brother Jason preaches to you and it gets tight, gets hot in the sanctuary, and it feels like that somebody's standing on your chest, don't get mad at the preacher. Just say to the big preacher, yes, you're right. I confess to you tonight. I confess to you this morning that I need to change this in my life. You see, it'd make our life so much easier if we just follow what the Word of God says. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed this evening. As they come and get a song of invitation this evening, I just wonder tonight, has the Lord spoken to your heart? I don't know your need. I don't know who's saved, who's not. I preach to the Christian tonight mainly. But if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, we'd love to be able to share from the Word of God so that you can know how to be saved this evening. I wonder if there might be one here that you would just simply say by raising your hand. You don't have to say anything out loud, but just slip your hand up. And by that you'd be saying, I'm not sure that I'm saved. The Word of God is, it's strange to me. I don't understand it. And I'm not sure that I'm saved, but it draws me. And I want to know more about it. Is there someone here tonight that would slip their hand up and by that be saying, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Is there one quickly? As they begin to play tonight, I wonder if there might be one that quickly you would say, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm going to slip my hand up and by that ask for prayer. I wonder how many Christians tonight you'd say, Brother Delmer, I know that I'm saved. I have no doubt about that. But yet, circumstance, family, jobs, responsibilities, I allow those things to hinder me from loving the Word of God, studying the Word of God, reading the Word of God, applying it on a daily basis. And I need to love the Word of God more in my life. Would you help me pray about that? Yes, God bless you. Others, yes, hands all over the building. Quickly tonight, others, yes, God bless you. Someone else, yes, God bless you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand, please. And we're going to pray. Then they're going to sing, God spoke in your heart. Man, let's just bring it to Him around this altar tonight. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can call on your name. And Lord, I thank you for this blessed word that you've given us. Lord, so many have gone through so much that we might have this blessed book. And more than anything, the blessed Son of God came, gave us life freely that we might be saved through the writings of this precious book. Lord, help us to love you, love your word, and take it to heart, to cherish it, to study it. And Lord, I pray it would just mean life to us. In your name we pray and ask it. Amen.